All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for tuning in. It's good to have you all with us today, and we are having a catastrophic start to the show here today, ladies and gentlemen. Now, it'll be fine for you guys, because you can hear the audio, but me and my co-host cannot. Well, we can hear our own voices, but we cannot hear the output audio. So I have some kind of audio card issue. Don't ask me what's going on. As you guys know, if you tuned in yesterday, worked beautifully yesterday, not an issue. The audio card has just poop. It's poop pee pee on the audio card, and it's just pooped out completely. So I can't hear music. I can't hear if we're going to run clips and stuff like that. So this is a little bit of a limited situation, because, of course, that's what we do here. We play some clips. We laugh at some good stuff. We have to adapt to those circumstances today, ladies and gentlemen. And then we have to investigate properly and see what actually happened here. This has happened a couple of times before. Not that hasn't been catastrophic in the sense that we've always been able to fix it with like a reboot or something, but this time, no, we haven't. So I do apologize that we are late, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to everyone who's patiently waiting and hanging on here. About 25 minutes late, which is not a fun situation to be in. But whatever, we do what we can. At least we're here. It's better late than never, as I say, right? So guys, thank you for joining us. Henrik here, of course, Red Ice TV, watching Flashback Friday. We are doing episode 73 today, believe it or not. We've done 73 of these now. Good to have you all with us. Thank you for joining us on DLive, on VK, on Twitter. Actually, I should also, I reminded myself here now, we should turn on the Entropy stream. Entropystream.live/ Red Ice TV. And I have to start streaming, so bear with me here. I have to plug this in, because otherwise we can't get this up and running. But I'll pull that up, guys, in a little bit here. And that's a good way, of course, to help out if you want to super chat during the show. Excuse me while I stumble on the keyboard here. Let me start this up and see if this works here. Yeah, there we go. I think it does work now. But there are a couple of other ways, of course, too, that you can join in if you so desire. We have a couple of methods. One of them is, as I said, through Entropy Stream. The other one, of course, is joining us on DLive, dlive.tv/redicetv. They have lemons, diamonds, ice creams, ninja guineas, and all kinds of fancy stuff over there. Then we also have donorbox.org/red-ice. That will be open here, too. I'll keep an eye on that during the show. And then, as we said, we also have the Entropy Stream. Let me pull that address up, too, real quick. There we have that. EntropyStream.live/RedIceTV. They've actually started with DLive integration, which is great for us, because as you might or might not know, we were booted off of YouTube a while ago. Entropy kind of interfaces with YouTube, but regardless. All right, some formalities there for you guys. Otherwise, always good of you to join us if you're tuning in later on in the archives on RedIce.tv, RedIceMembers.com. Thank you to our members, of course. Special shout out to you guys. We do have a good chance joining us on BitChute and Library and VK and stuff like that as well. But my co-host here today is none other than Mark Collett, who is joining us. It's somewhat later on the UK side, but thank you for coming on, Mark. It's great to have you back on the show. How are things in this quarantine and lockdown for you? Oh, do we have long lag? I think you're muted too. Look at that. The audio issue is just taken over. Are you muted, Mark?
Otherwise, I am now unmuted.
There we go.
For some reason.
Like, oh, no, shit.
Problems to my mute button decided it would not allow me to unmute for some reason. So I don't know why that is. But yes, it is a bit later here in the evening, but I am still in good spirits. It's been a very, very busy week for me this week, and I've still got more shows to do tomorrow. But I think that's testament to just how the nationalist cause is spreading and how our message is reaching so many people, and so many people want to hear what we have to say, which is all good news, of course.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, that's a good problem to have, right? We have so many things, a lot of dedicated people, a lot of things to cover, of course, recently here with everything that's going on. You're, of course, we haven't really talked much about Patriotic Alternative, the party that you've started up, the conferences and stuff like that. That's something actually we can dive into a little bit later, give a little, some plugs for that. But how are things generally, I guess, been for you and the fam during quarantine and lockdown? I don't know if you've been affected. I don't know how much things drastically have changed. We can see, of course, a really Orwellian type of response, really, from the British government, which is, you know, kind of predictable, to be honest. We're not surprised by that. But how are things been generally for you and the family?
Not too bad. I mean, generally for me, I work from home anyway, so it doesn't feel particularly different. It doesn't feel strange because I don't go out very much as it is. The weird thing for me is obviously I can't go to the gym. The other strange thing is now my partner's at home all the time, whereas she used to be out every day doing sort of baby events, baby classes, taking Sophia places. And she would always be, if she wasn't at a class, she'd be at a mother and baby group. So that is a bit different. And I think it's taking more of a toll on her. And I think it's not particularly great for Sophia either, because I really like the fact she was so socially active at such a young age and meeting lots of people and doing lots of interesting things. And I think that this will probably affect people who are more used to being out and about in a very negative way. I think a few weeks at home is good to recharge people's batteries, and to be around your loved ones for a little bit longer can be nice. But I think now we're into sort of, or coming to the end of 4 weeks of this lockdown, I think it will be affecting a lot of people in a very, very negative way.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I saw the video you did. Again, if we had audio, we could have played a bit from it. This is horrible, folks. It could be a bit challenging to play something for you guys, and then we can't hear it, and especially if I want to bounce off some stuff off of Mark, of course. But you did a video on this. Maybe you could just do a quick synopsis. Essentially, we're seeing, that's the title of today's show, of course. It's countries locked, borders open. We've seen a very strange situation where, you know, and I've said this from the start, and went over this many times, but I was like, we should have closed the borders, obviously, when this thing broke out. We should have stopped tourism and the traffic, especially from China, but even from other parts. It might have been spread at that point. The goods and services shouldn't have flowed at that point. It should have been a short shutdown in terms of limiting it and sort of containing the spread to China, but that's not what we saw happen. We saw all these big organizations like the World Health Organization failed in this, well, in their job essentially, which was to make sure that this didn't spread globally. But they encouraged people to continue to travel. They said there's no human to human transmission, everything is fine, kind of thing. And then boom, it was essentially all over the world. And now, of course, we've seen a situation where we are going into lockdown. We're forced to shut down our economies. At least the small guys, the small businesses are suffering the most. Big businesses, they're being bailed out. Big banks are, they can grant loans. There's a very beneficial aspect of this. There's a consolidation, as I say, of both power and wealth that's happening right now. And the middle class, the working class, are being squeezed out in this sense. But and the justifications for this have been very bizarre too. And we'll get into that a little bit later in terms of like how we've seen the numbers or the models have collapsed. They're not as high as they said it would be initially, and blah, blah, blah. But one interesting aspect in all of this is that refugees are still pouring into both Britain, into America. The borders are still open in many regards, Mark. And that was what your video was about. Tell us what your take on this is here.
Well, I did a very, very long take actually last Friday. I did a live stream all about coronavirus, and I gave my analysis on both the alternative media's initial take on the virus and on the media and the establishment's initial take on the virus. And then I gave my analysis of the alternative media's secondary take on the virus and the government's actual response to the virus when it got here. And my conclusions were that the government basically allowed this virus in. The British government did nothing to stop it getting here. They did nothing to stop the initial vectors of this virus from spreading it. So when people came in, they weren't screening people. People who had it, they didn't quarantine those people. Instead, they told them just to self-isolate. So if you had the virus, you were just suggested that you should stay at home by your own volition. There would be no quarantine for these people. We didn't want to infringe their rights, etc., etc. Then when the virus had spread throughout the population, the government did the exact opposite and quarantined everybody. And whilst we're all in quarantine, this leads me on to my video that I posted today. While we're all in quarantine, whilst the police are spying on us, whilst they're asking our neighbours to inform on us, whilst they're threatening to arrest us for going into our gardens or taking unauthorised trips to the supermarket, 15,000 migrants per day are pouring into Britain. And that's a record rate. And it's not just a record rate, but it's a record rate under a Conservative government. So this was the government, this was the Boris Johnson administration that told us repeatedly that they were bringing in a points-based immigration system. And this points-based immigration system was going to drastically reduce, if not completely eliminate, unskilled, low-wage labour from pouring into Britain. Yet here we have 15,000 a day coming in, and many of these people are coming here specifically to take farm jobs, which British workers are being barred from taking. So we're not allowed to leave our house, we're not allowed to take these jobs. I've actually had several people write to me, and this has been backed up by the mainstream media. People have been writing to me saying they've applied for these jobs. They've either been turned down or ignored. The British media is actually admitting this now. So whilst there's 1.8 million extra benefit claimants in the UK, those people are being denied the right to go and take jobs on farms because those jobs are being given to migrant labourers. And as I said, all of this is happening under a Conservative government. So when you see these Sivnat shills tell you that Boris Johnson's great for the UK, that Preeti Patel's a wonderful Home Secretary who's got immigration under control. These people are lying to you.
Yeah,
the Conservatives have repeatedly broken the record for letting in the most immigrants into the UK. They've actually got a worse record than Labour on it, mass immigration.
They're amazing.
Because they talk about this kind of points-based immigration system, people believe them, and it's nothing more than a placebo. It's nothing more than telling people what they want to hear whilst actually doing nothing to stop the problem. And I think it's very similar in America. I mean, I've heard that Donald Trump started, I think Trump's spiraling into this sort of desperation now. He's trying to appeal to his base by telling them, I'm stopping all immigration now, that's it. But he hasn't actually stopped anyone, has he? He's, in fact, his immigration ban, when you actually look into it, actually makes no difference whatsoever. And I think all of these Conservatives are absolutely failing to do anything because their intention isn't actually to do anything at all. It's, in fact, just to keep the globalist system moving and to put GDP on a pedestal and, you know, promise eternal economic growth to keep people smiling.
Well, pretty much. And we'll get back to that. And actually, coincidentally, similar situation in Sweden, the moderate party, which is our, well, conservatives, you could barely call it that. But, you know, same thing there. The borders were open even wider under them. It was initiated by the Social Democratic Order, but then it was emphasized and got way worse under them, which is, you know, bizarre. But as you said, it's because of the GDP and these free liberal free market forces and all that shit. But before we go back to that point, you mentioned Trump's inspiring. I just saw this before we came on here. There was like supposedly some joke that he said about like, was it the, well, it's called Lysol, the actual manufacturer, right? But it was something about he was joking, a disinfectant spray. The manufacturer of Lysol, a disinfectant spray and cleaning product, issued a statement warning against any internal use after President Donald Trump suggested that people could get an injection of the disinfectant that knocks coronavirus out in a minute. And then people were, and he tried to say, well, that was just a joke and stuff. Is he going Biden? Is he getting dementia? What's going on here? Was he actually just joking? What's happening?
I don't know. I watched the clip. I couldn't really tell. I mean, I couldn't really tell whether he was joking or not. He also talked about going out into the sun or into extreme UV light, because apparently that kills the virus too. But whether it kills the virus if it's already in your body is another thing. It's kind of strange. I'm sure microwave ovens kill the virus too, but no one would suggest putting a human being in a microwave to kill the virus. I think he's spiraling 5G. In numerous ways. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's very bizarre. I'm not quite sure what happened. Again, the audience, this is 39 seconds long. The audience would hear it, but we would not. So it's just kind of fucking, I hate that we have this audio issue because that would be fun to listen to. Again, I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, back to the point of what you're talking about there. I don't know what. I mean, we know that, just briefly on this again here. we know that the media does this kind of stuff. They pick up on one thing and where he made a joke or tongue-in-cheek comment or something, and they take everything literally and seriously, and they run with it and they use it against him as a kind of thing, right? So that's probably what's going on. But at the same time, I don't know. They're you never know with some of these guys. But you know, this check this out here, Mark, too. HuffPost had a couple of interesting takes on this too, that you know, we've heard all this time that the white male is the biggest risk in spreading the virus. The ongoing challenge for government is to keep older white men on their side as social distancing measures drag on, writes Richard Stokoe, or whatever, how the hell ever you pronounce his name. You could draw some conclusions here, Mark, that essentially, if we could just remove all white men, specifically, I guess, old white men, but, you know, the headline saying white males, we could be saved, right? We might deal with the virus that way. That could be a government proposal coming into effect here any moment. What do you think?
I think it's time that we as white people, as we as white men, actually, because this is a 100% male panel, I think it's time that we apologize to all people of color and just say sorry. I mean, the fact is, the West is a really rubbish place to live because of white men. So the only solution to the West being a rubbish place to live is that all the people of color return to their ancestral homelands where there's no white people and they'll be much happier. I think that would be a solution that would benefit them greatly. And then they can just leave us to wallow in an all white hell, couldn't they? I mean, can you imagine how terrible it would be if all these people of color left the Western world and just left us to our own devices? I mean,
were you saying no kebabs? What are you proposing here?
It'd be awful, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, the white men would be confined to their own countries alone, and everyone else would live in peace. And I'm sure places like Haiti and Liberia are great examples of how countries without white men flourish. And I'm very happy to let them flourish. And I wish them all the best on their journey back to their ancestral homelands.
It seems, though, the route they're taking is, if I think they're saying, let's remove the white man specifically, but white people in general, right? Let's remove them, and then they can take over the horrible ruins of what we once built. That seems to be the strategy at this point, anyway. At least if you look at the United Nations and some of these groups, because they're advocating replacement population.
It's a real conundrum, isn't it, that the people of color and the people who hate white people don't want to go to countries where there are few white people. They want to remove white people from white countries. Strange way round of looking at things, because, you know, if I want pizza, I don't sit in a burger restaurant and tell the owner to start making pizzas. I just go to a pizza restaurant. You'd think that if people wanted to be surrounded by people of color and free of white people, it'd be far easier just to go to an African nation, or, you know, move to somewhere in the Indian subcontinent rather than going to a white nation, then essentially genociding all the white people. That seems like an insane plan.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, a couple of diamonds here, or yeah, I guess diamonds on DLive that came in. Let me take those real quick, and then we move on. Well, actually, let's do this. I remember the clip. We'll listen to it. I remember what it was about, and I have to reiterate it to Mark so he can get a gist of what it was about, too. But at least one of the clips, or maybe a couple, we could play as I can kind of convey what they were about to Mark. But you guys will hear them fine. Anyway, before we do that, Last PaleoCon donated a diamond. No message. Thank you. Tapio, same thing. Diamond, no message. RoboThink, same thing. Diamond, no message. DesiMark13 donates a diamond. Howdy, all. Howdy to you, Desi. Hope you're doing well. Thanks. Spencer the First, a diamond. What's Mark's favorite British beer? Question for you there. Do you have any?
A favorite British beer? To be honest, I'm not a big drinker. I'm racking my mind to things that I usually drink. But if I do have beer, I usually go for a Peroni, but that's Italian. So unfortunately, I don't really have one. But as I said, I'm not really a drinker, and if I do it tends to be gin and tonic. Whereas if I'm going for a beer, as I said, it's usually one of those sort of premium lagers. But definitely either Peroni. I quite like Cobra as well. That's quite nice. Well, that's an Indian beer. Not doing very well here, am I? But not a
What would
huge
you do
thing.
without open borders, Mark? We
What would
would
I do without? I'd be ruined.
couldn't get your
I'd be
Indian
sat there
beer.
having to drink a beer I didn't even know the name of.
Oh man, I don't know if it was Spencer the first who asked me, but it was like, did you recommend some good Scandinavian beer? And actually, it was a very similar answer. I was like, I don't drink that much anymore, and I haven't for a long time. Actually, like the last couple of months, I've just like had an occasional beer here and there, which had not been the case before. But I couldn't think of any good ones. It's like Pripps Blå was one brand. I was like, wait a minute, that's like the most classic lager, like just that is everywhere kind of thing. I couldn't think of one. So sorry for the disappointment there. But you got a couple of answers anyway. Spencer the first sends another diamond. It says hail in chat and school. Well, school to you too, sir. Thank you so much, JC Stalling. Also diamond. It says hail Mark Collett, hail Patriotic Alternative. Indeed, thank you so much. White Rabbit Radio, Tim Murdoch is hosting. Thank you so much. Over on DLive, Black Phillip sends a diamond. Says, will Mark set up a DLive channel in case of Showa?
I'm going to say two things here. Firstly, I've already set up the DLive channel, but I haven't advertised it yet. It's just in my name, Mark Collett, so you can check that out. And secondly, people in the chat are asking about gin and tonic. If you want to make a really, really good gin and tonic, an excellent gin and tonic, and you're using you're using lime, I always slice the lime and take it round of the edge of the glass first, chill the glass, but then take the lime around the rim of the glass. So when you drink it, it's got that little bit of bit of zest on the on the lip of the glass. That makes it even better. There's my G&T tip for you. Although
Right.
to be fair, I don't think I've had a drink since I found out my girlfriend was pregnant. Since my girlfriend fell pregnant, I've not had a drink.
Did you join in the journey of not drinking together? Which of course is a nice thing to do.
It was never, drinking hasn't been a big thing for me for a long time, and I sort of gave up drinking for exercise and healthy living and early mornings and a run at sort of 6, 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So I didn't really drink heavily. We had a gin and tonic watching a bit of TV or watching a documentary on a Saturday evening, and that was about it. My days of drinking entire vases of beer while singing football songs are sadly long gone.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I'm totally with you there. What is that? The teetotaler? Is that what they call it? Right? Not quite that. I mean, I actually opened just a Hops Works Orange and IPA here, so I'm not like that. But I rarely does happen. It's just under this quarantine thing and everything's happened. It's like, yeah, actually had a couple of beers here and there. But yeah, anyway, thanks for that. Mark, or Vultureman asks rather, with a diamond on DIY, says, Mark Collette, great speech at last. Patriotic Alternative. When was that, by the way? When was the conference?
That was March the 14th. It was just before the lockdown, and it was a fantastic event. We had just over 200 people booked in, but sadly, due to the coronavirus, a few people stayed away, so we ended up with just under the 200. But I couldn't believe how many people came out to actually support us, considering what was going on. And it was the most white-pilling event I've ever attended. It was superb. And the important thing to remember is that event was such a success, not because of the organizers or the speakers, but because of everyone who attended. To be part of something like that and to see such a fantastic real world community forming is just the morale booster we need. Because at the moment, we're seeing this unprecedented crackdown across social media, worse than ever before, of nationalistic material. And we need more than ever to be forming real world communities, real world bonds, so that we can't just be scattered to the wind as and when our channels disappear. And after what we saw on Wednesday on my channel, I think it's only a matter of time before I disappear now and before many other channels go that way too.
Yeah, it's true. Again, Mark, you and me won't be able to hear this, but let's play this again. It's Susan. I think you guys in watching the stream will hear it fine. Let's try it out. Here we
Talk
go.
about removing information that is problematic. Anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations would be a violation of our policy.
So you're not just putting the truth next to the lie, you're taking the lie down. That's a pretty aggressive approach.
Well, I mean, we do remove, across YouTube.
That's the CEO of YouTube saying that they'll be deleting any information that disagrees with the World Health Organization. This is an organization that was wrong about whether there was human-to-human transmission of coronavirus, an organization that was wrong about whether or not there was going to be a pandemic, an organization that was wrong about whether or not we should be using face masks. And now if you say something that disagrees with them, you'll be deleted from YouTube. Now more than ever, we need solutions that don't allow one company to control the narrative. Please spread this message and please share your response on Library under the hashtag WhoThinks.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, guys, you could hear that. We could not, unfortunately, but I remember the clip. We played it yesterday. I watched it a couple of times, too. Susan talking about this issue of, like, if something is not backed up or confirmed or whatever by the World Health Organization, YouTube will remove that content. Little Brian Stelter there on Reliable Sources on CNN is like, ooh, that's a strong measure to take. Or you're saying, and the framing of this, too, is he says, his framing is like this: you have the truth and then you have the lies, and now you're removing the lie. That's what he's saying to Susan, and she's like, well, we've done that for a lot of different issues, blah blah blah. And the plug is actually for Library, lbry.tv. we have a channel there. I just told Mark, get one there, because it's a great service. They are censorship aware, and they're demonstrating there too that the World Health Organization has again and again and again been wrong, Mark. They've failed us in so many regards, and for them to link to the World Health Organization on the videos that's about the coronavirus, about COVID and all this stuff, it's disgusting. I mean, we can't rely on YouTube. These are people that hate us, who are either intentionally or just because of they're dumb, can end up hurting you. They can end up hurting your family, giving you bad advice, restricting you to know what's really going on. I mean, they're a horrible company. Enemies, Mark.
I think we're in a situation now where we're going to see really anything that isn't part of this sort of sanctioned mainstream thoughts or mainstream sort of chatter is going to be absolutely pushed out. And the interesting thing about the coronavirus and the interesting thing about the censorship on the coronavirus is it's strange to bring in censorship when we actually don't have all the facts, and no one even is claiming to have all the facts. Yeah. It was only the other week when it came out of information coming out of Iceland, because Iceland was one of the few countries that carried out widespread testing. And the Icelandic government admitted that the actual numbers of people infected in Iceland were much, much higher than they thought. And something like 50% of people who had coronavirus had shown no symptoms.
Yep.
So that drastically reduced the mortality rate. And this is the important thing, and we're seeing this here in the UK. The UK government have actually admitted that something, they estimate somewhere between sort of 6.6 and 7 million people have actually been infected. But if that is the case, the mortality rate goes down from something like 13% to 0.2%. Now, a 0.2% chance of dying is very, very different to a 13% chance of dying. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
But a 13% chance of dying, or an inflated mortality rate, is something that would scare enough people into accepting draconian legislation that takes away their rights, which is exactly what we've seen happen.
Yeah, indeed. Good point. I've talked about this article many times, just what you reference regarding Iceland. It's a very small population. Of course, they're still very ethnically homogenous, so it is a good country to test on. They note that in the article here. They're talking about that, but they've been very good at testing. Again, a highly efficient, still Nordic country that has its shit together, because it hasn't been wrecked by multiculturalism yet. So they've tested more people than any other country. They have performed 96,000 tests per million people. Of course, there isn't a million people there, but that's how they gives you the math of this, the number of testing, to compare it with larger population countries such as the US, which is only down about 7,000. Well, more, maybe a bit more now. The article is a bit old, but 7,100 tests per million people. But again, as you said, that shows that the mortality rate is much lower than they first thought. And I've referenced this also many times. Dr. Fauci, who's the head guy over in the U.S. talking about this infectious diseases and stuff, he himself has said that it's as low as the flu, down to 0.1%. It's back in mid-March when he wrote for the New England Journal of Medicine. And none in the media have questioned this. None in the media have asked about this. They haven't cornered him on this, of why he says one thing when he writes in a medical journal, and then when he speaks to the media, he still kind of keeps the whipping up the fear and stuff like that. So something is amiss here. I mean, that's the end kind of conclusion that we can draw, that something has either intentionally or by accident gotten amiss when it comes to the models and the numbers. Have you heard anything about Neil Ferguson behind Imperial College in the UK? He was one of the first guys that gave these models and predictions to that actually the US and the UK based their stringent measures on. They said, okay, he said 2.2 million people in the US is going to die, about 500,000 people in the UK is going to die. That's what he initially said. And then he had to scale back that two or three different times. Now I don't know what the latest is. Latest was as low, I think, as 15,000 people, if even that. How many is it so far? Do you have a number you recall in the UK?
I don't have a number that I recall, but I have just sent you a link. And it's from the Daily Mail. And this says, coronavirus symptom tracker claims up to 6.6 million people in Britain may already have the life-threatening infection. Now, this dovetails exactly with what we're saying now. And it's just a few figures from the UK. And it's part of the symptom tracker, which is made by King's College London. Now, this again would point to the mortality rate being much, much lower. And in the UK, it's very interesting because the government have repeatedly refused to roll out widespread testing. So the only way you can get tested is if you have the severe symptoms, if you go to doctors or if you go to the hospital. And that's a very, very interesting situation to be in because they're only testing people with severe symptoms. Then they're only the mortality rate looks much higher. The numbers of infections look much lower. And on top of that, you then have this situation where every recorded death seems to be a coronavirus death. So
yeah.
Somebody gets knocked over by a speeding car and dies in hospital a day later, and they've just tested him for coronavirus. So that goes in the coronavirus death pile, even though he'd been hit by a car. And some people are now pointing out, where are all the seasonal deaths from flu? Where are all the deaths from cancer? They all seem to have disappeared and been put in the coronavirus pile.
Yep.
And it just seems to me, I'm not saying there is no virus. There's clearly a virus. And I think this virus is clearly something like the flu. And it clearly attacks the respiratory system. But the fact is, the numbers are being manipulated, exaggerated, and clearly the mortality rate is being exaggerated to spread fear. And that fear is being used not only to pass these draconian laws, but also to build several anti-white narratives. And one of these anti-white narratives at the moment that is being pushed very heavily by the media and the establishment is that the NHS in the UK is an institution that is built off the back of migrants. They are saving us all. They're getting us through this mess. Thus, immigration isn't the cause of coronavirus. Mass immigration is, in fact, the cure to coronavirus, which obviously couldn't be more the wrong way around. It couldn't be more insane to push that as a message. But that is the message they're pushing. And I don't know if you saw, or you might have dealt with this on a previous Flashback Friday, but there was a video going around YouTube called hashtag you clap for us now, where a group of migrants were saying, look here, whitey, we're the ones saving you. If it wasn't for us, you'd all be dead of coronavirus by now, which again is a very disingenuous message. And my big prediction is when all this concludes, when all this is over and done with, the big narrative from the government will be, we need more migrants to help rebuild Britain, to help boost the economy, to get things back on track after coronavirus. And this will be another huge net negative for us when it comes to the demographic shift.
Yeah, very good. You basically touched on a number of things, which I wanted to go through with you here anyway. And we can do this if you have the ability to it. We can mute. I'll mute our mics here and we can listen to the clip kind of on the back end on the stream. But if you mute your mic and either on DLive or Twitter or our website, wherever, as I start playing the clip, it'll be a little bit delayed. But you can listen to at least the beginning of this clip. It's about 3 minutes long. So again, apologize, Mark, that you won't be able to hear it. I watched it earlier, so obviously so I know what it's about. But you guys will hear. Check that out. It's regarding the two different way also that the CDC and the World Health Organization have done classifications. I forget the exact number. It was like COVID was a 7.1, 7.2, or 1.7, something like that. And it also shows a lower death rate. It has to do with this issue of whether or not people are assumed to have deceased with COVID-19, not of the disease itself, right? But check this out here. So I'll mute our mics as we begin the clip mark. And then if you do have the stream up there, you can listen to the tail end to it as that begins playing here. But listen to this, guys. Very interesting.
I'm going to make this real easy, and we're going to do this real quick. United States. Total deaths, 21,692, showing almost 7,000 in New York alone. CDC.gov, showing 20,000 deaths, 21,000, 20,000. Is that accurate? No. As of April 10th, that CDC.gov, the same website, had registered 4,984 COVID deaths. U07.1. U07.1 is the ICD-10 code for virus identified, confirmed by laboratory testing. Look down here. It tells you to follow that number one. You come down here. Right here, folks. It's right here in front of your face. Presumed. Coded to 7.1. 7.1 is not for presumed. 7.1 is for virus identified and confirmed by laboratory testing. To make this easier to understand, go ahead, pause the video, read it. I'm just going to roll to make it quick. It's the same thing you just saw. Go ahead, pause it, take a look at it. This was made this morning. Apparently it updated. They added another 2,000 something deaths. Now we're at 20,000. It was 18,000. Okay, and again, down here, data includes both confirmed and presumptive positive cases. Read what it says over here. Go back. Presumed? No, that's for a 7.2. Virus not identified, where there's a clinical diagnosis made, aka presumed. Laboratory confirmation is inconclusive or not available. In other words, not virus identified, confirmed by a lab. So does someone want to tell me why on the FAQ sent out March 24th, from the NVSS for the new code introduced, they're giving them new instructions. It's sent to the states from the government, from the national government, your federal government right here, sent down to the states, read carefully, forward to the state statistical staff in your office, bang, 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 go down. What happens if the term reported on the death certificate indicate uncertainty? There's your answer. If the death certificate reports terms such as probable COVID-19 or likely COVID-19 or might have been COVID-19 or possible COVID-19 or presumed COVID-19, then they're going to assign the new ICD code, and it is not likely NCHS will follow up on these cases. Why follow up to see if those were actual positive cases? Because they're just getting tossed right in the death code over here. Clear as day, folks. They are recoding those presumed or 7.2s, virus not identified. To 7.1. Have a great day. Oh yeah, go ahead. Hashtag debunk this, Fauci.
All right, so we're back right there. Interesting. What do you make of that? There's two different tags, or whatever you want to call it, that they use for those that have actually been laboratory confirmed with the disease, while there's a whole nother set which they now have begun to divide, where they have a different classification for those that are just either assumed to have died from it. And again, that's how they've been able to keep the numbers that high too. Italy proved, we talked about that yesterday on the show, about 99% of the people that had died had had three or more underlying conditions. There's many other causes that, and again, I'm on your page there too. We're obviously dealing with something. It's something that strikes people and it pushes them over the edge, so to speak. They do, if they have already very compromised immune systems or struggling, what was it like, cancer rates have skyrocketed. There's a number of other issues that have happened. So something is happening there, but they cannot pull it off unless they have a lot of other pre-existing conditions. And though pre-existing conditions might have been things anyway, Mark, that these people potentially would have died from. I'm not sure how that works, but as you said, if the flu numbers have just dropped off all of a sudden and they're not filling them up in the COVID stack instead, that's disingenuous, is it not?
Well, the interesting thing about the flu figures is, on average, in the UK every year, 17,000 people die of flu. Now, that's a lot of people, but we aren't always panicked. We don't go into a giant fluster over the flu. Some people do take vaccines for the flu. I've never had the flu vaccine, nor will I want to take any vaccines for the flu. I certainly don't want any coronavirus vaccine either. I wouldn't trust that at all. And also, I think it's very odd. This is just an aside. The people who are testing the vaccine now are all saying, oh, we got flu-like symptoms when we took the vaccine. Well, that seems a bit pointless then, doesn't it? If 50% of people who get the coronavirus don't have any symptoms whatsoever and aren't affected at all, what's the point of taking a vaccine that gives you flu-like symptoms? It seems insane to me. I think all of this is being pushed, is being built up, and it's a cover to bring in things that are very dark, will take away our freedoms, and ultimately will be a massive negative for those of European descent. But I also think there's plenty of suspicious things. Like I said, where are all the people this year who are dying of flu? We don't get bothered by people dying of flu. And some years, I believe the high in Britain for flu deaths in recent years was about 40,000. Well, that'll be very interesting, won't it? Because if the coronavirus death toll doesn't get up to the 40,000 mark here in the UK, then it will have been less bad than some cases of flu in recent years, which would really put it in perspective. And when we look at what we've lost from this, when we look at the level of this quarantine, when we look at the way we've been treated by the police, and I think the police in Britain are a complete disgrace. I have no time whatsoever for the police. But isn't it very interesting? Because the police and the military in the UK have never, ever managed to get a grip of illegal immigration. They've never managed to successfully patrol the coasts of Britain. Yet the other week, when it was a lovely sunny weekend, the military and the police secured the British coastline and made sure it was completely locked down to ensure that no one was sunbathing. Isn't it incredible that the British police and the military can mobilize on such a level to prevent sunbathing, but can't mobilize on that level to prevent illegal immigration? We're told there's no way they can police the British coast. There's no way that they can stop illegal immigrants entering Britain via the coastline, but they can stop people sunbathing. And you also see this with the way that they've instituted this lockdown. They are basically going around communities now, stopping people, searching people, asking people why they're out of their homes, even telling dads that they can't play with their children in their own front gardens. Yet this is the same police force that couldn't stop grooming gangs, raping, sexually abusing, grooming, drugging, and even murdering 19,000 English girls last year. And that's a very important statistic, isn't it? Last year in Britain, 19,000 girls were groomed, sexually abused, raped, and trafficked. And the police didn't do anything about it. The establishment haven't done anything about it. This goes on, and at best, they turn a blind eye, and at worst, they're actually complicit in letting this happen. But 14,000 people or 15,000 people die of coronavirus and we're on lockdown. It would be amazing, wouldn't it, if they could put that much effort into locking down these Islamic communities who are raping a larger number of young girls than people who have died of the coronavirus.
Yeah, it is exposing some things. And obviously, we take those wins, we take those points that we can use essentially from the coronavirus and use them to kind of to explain that, well, if we had run things differently in some of the ways that we propose, this wouldn't be happening, right? So we take that and we're happy with that. But it also exposes that this is a fraud, right? It shows that it's a sham. It shows that they're artificially driving up the numbers. The media have been hyping this as a fear factor. And then there's another issue, of course, with immunity and stress and even being locked in your homes. In some cases, you see rises in domestic abuse. People are stressed out about this. They can't go out and live their life normally. There's a lot of other factors to why people start feeling ill and potentially even, you know, they can't see their loved ones anymore. There's a lot of things going on there. But it exposes it and shows that if they wanted to, they could do things about the kind of stuff that, you know, we've been talking about. It's to say, controlling the borders, policing people, making sure that they go into a no-go zone, for example, and clean that up or something like that, right? It's exposing that it's a scam within the system. Unfortunately, though, a lot of people are buying it. A lot of people are agreeing with this. We're seeing these cheerleaders in the media who are like, yeah, put them back in their home. And we've played a couple of these videos before too, Mark, where the police are showing up at the lawn on some poor fellow's his own yard and saying he's out in the yard playing like ball or something with his daughter, and this police, the British policewoman, tell him to go back into the to go back into the home. It's like the best thing you can do is to be out in the sunlight and produce vitamin D, which actually helps to build immunity against pneumonia. But they don't want you outside. They want you inside, locked in front of the TV, scared shitless, looking at these maps all the time, and the death numbers just go up and up and up. And it's like people don't study deaths. They don't sit around and look at how many people died this one day of what disease. You know, there's like hundreds of thousands of people in the U.S. dying every year from heart disease, and you don't see the shutdown. The tuberculosis is still on the top 10 lists of diseases worldwide that's killing the most people. It killed over 1 million people last year, yet you don't see nationwide lockdown. You don't see limitations of border or flights being stopped. It's super selective, and it's selective on an issue which they, for some reason, I think, have decided to jump on, to use, because it benefits them somehow. And I don't know what that is. Is it, you know, more draconian measures? Is it this tracking system, the tracing that they're talking about? Is it mandatory vaccination? What is it? Is it to accumulate more wealth, to knock small business owners out of their businesses that they can't take care of themselves? Is it dependency? They want us to come groveling and crawling to the government or some kind of help organizations that we can't take care of ourselves? I don't know. Pick one or all of the above. What do you think, Mark?
Well, there's a lot to digest.
Not to unpack.
I was just actually looking up something that was interesting as you were talking as well. And it's a recent study found that up to 400,000, that's 400,000, nearly 500,000 deaths every year in the EU are directly linked to people being overweight.
Yeah.
Now, there is no effort to tackle obesity. In fact, it's quickly becoming a hate crime to even suggest people should exercise, eat sensibly, and lose a little weight. But I think the way that these people are talking about tackling the disease, something very interesting that you talked about, is usually at this time of year, the flu stops affecting people. Flu season comes to an end. And that is because as soon as people, as soon as the hot weather arrives, as soon as the sun comes out, people start opening the windows, they're outside more, they're less cooped up, they're not sat indoors with the heater on, all bundled up with the windows closed and no circulation, and that's the end of flu season. Now here in Britain, we have had an unseasonably dry and hot April. Really, April in Britain is known for its showers. That's why people talk of April showers. It's known for being quite a rainy time of the year. And we haven't really had any rain this month. In fact, every time it's threatened to rain, it just hasn't. There hasn't really been any downpours at all. And I know that because at the moment I'm trying to grow some grass. I'm trying to get my lawn into order, and there's no rain.
Some grass, eh? Huh? Yeah. That beer has slipped into something else.
Being a dad is very difficult. Trying to do lots of dad things, like keep the garden in good order and grow a lawn for your daughter to play on. It's a new experience for me. But with all this hot weather,
good activities, ladies and gentlemen. You want to do these? Yep.
Yeah, of course. With all this hot weather, you'd think everyone would have their windows open. They'd be encouraging everyone outside, fresh air, lots of exercise, lots of vitamin D. We'll beat this like we beat every flu season by basically nature's way, because eventually spring comes, summer comes, and, you know, people don't get the flu. People don't get the cold anymore because they're not all sat in. I always remember being at school as a child, and teachers would always be obsessed with having a window open. And the reason they were obsessed with having a window open is because it wasn't stuffy then, so fresh air would come in. But these people are suggesting that the way to beat a virus, a flu-like virus, is by everyone staying indoors, staying cooped up, not going out into the sunshine. It's almost as if they want people to get it, as if they're willing people to get it.
Yeah.
And they certainly did in the UK. You've got to remember, we're an island nation. When you live on a small group of islands, it is very, very easy to stop people coming in. It's very, very easy to stop a disease coming in. The first thing the government should have done is banned all foreign travel. The next thing the government should have done should have been to institute screening and health checks at the border for British citizens returning. And the final measure they should have taken should have been to quarantine anyone who tested positive. This would have meant the disease would never have come into the country. But the one thing the government refused to do is close the borders. So first you have to note, the government knowingly let the disease in. And when the disease was in, the government refused to quarantine those carrying it and let it spread. The only time the government sought to bring in a quarantine was when they could quarantine everybody in order to bring in draconian laws. And when you look at this, you can see that this is probably a test. They're probably seeing how far they can push us. They're probably actually seeing how we will react, how compliant people will be. And I've seen how insanely compliant some people are. I was in my local supermarket the other day, and when you go into your supermarket, not only do you have to queue to go in, but they now have markings on the floor. So you have to walk around the supermarket in a certain way. You walk up one aisle, then you walk down the next, back up, back down, and you're snaking round. It's almost like you're playing, remember Snake on the old Nokia phones? It's almost like this perfect game of Snake where it's up, down, up, down, up, down, and you go around the store that way. And I realized that I'd gone up an aisle, but I hadn't picked up the orange juice. Now, the orange juice was at the very end of that aisle. So I went the wrong way down the aisle by about a meter and a half to pick up a bottle of orange juice. And at this point, this do-gooding man on the aisle started pointing at me and flapping his other arm around and pointing at me, and people were looking, and I looked at him, and he then pointing at the thing on the floor. He was like, "You're going the wrong way, mate. You do realize you're going the wrong way. You do realize you've come down the aisle that you're meant to walk up." I said, "Look, mate, I'm just getting an orange. I'm not going to walk around the entire store and play Snake again. I'm not going around the entire store again just to pick up the one bottle of orange juice I've missed." I went about a meter down the aisle, and the way he was looking, as if he was looking around to see if there was anyone there who had authority to stop me.
You were trying to murder people right there, Mark. I mean,
it's insane. But the way
you're killing us with the orange juice and the juice. You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go, man. You can't turn back now.
Well, I had two choices, didn't I? I either had the choice of turning up at home and facing my girlfriend without the orange juice, or risking arrest. And I'm happy to say I made the right call. There was no way I was coming home without the juice.
Yeah, exactly. Can't meet the wife or the girlfriend in this case, I guess, without all the goods. Yeah, exactly. No, but it's a good point. I mean, it's like it's... everyone is like, they're scared, terrified of this thing. And most people are home, as I said, and they're watching the media and they're like keeping up with the numbers and, you know, nothing else to do. And they're terrified and they think everybody's going to die. And then you realize the death. And you retweeted that John Roberts from Fox News. He's running around in the press room there, with the White House press briefing room, and just like, take off the mask. I don't know exactly who he's talking to. I saw he retweeted that. Take off the mask. This thing has a mortality rate of about 0.1, which is what Fauci wrote in New England Journal of Medicine. Most of these people on the inside, they know this kind of shit, right? But it shows that in the media, they can talk about very different things while they walk around and largely laugh at this thing, right? I mean, that was a very revealing hot mic clip right there, wasn't it?
Was that the one in the Trump press briefing before it started?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. That was incredible. I played that on my show on Wednesday when I had Dr. David Duke on, and that was insane. You've actually got these experts sat there saying, oh, it's all being exaggerated anyway. The death rate's about 0.1%. And the guy laying out the cards even says, so it's all a hoax. And he goes, well, it's not a hoax.
Nah, it's
just
hoax.
Over an exaggeration.
Yeah. Right. It's just, right. It's fine. Mean, don't worry about it.
You know, and I've got to admit this. I feel like I'm at confessional now. I did break the law the other day because we're not allowed to go out for non-essential shopping. But because I realized that this lockdown has had people going crazy, all the shops around here haven't sold all their allocation of Easter eggs. So when I knew the Easter eggs were being reduced, I went on an insane shop-to-shop hunt for every last reduced cream egg. And I'm just waiting now for the Stasi police to kick my door in, arrest me, and confiscate my haul of Cadbury's cream eggs. But the joke will be on them because I've already eaten them all.
Nice, nice. Well, I think they'll save it for later. Once they have backlogged tracing and the artificial intelligence system is in place, when the drones are there and the robotic Terminator army is fully implemented, then they can take away from your social credit score to make sure that you can't get electricity and water again for another 3 years because you violated the social distancing rules. That's right. I want to get to guys' super chats as well. Just a real quick note before I do that about this. I talked about vitamin D. Showed this a couple of times. The best medicine for preventing severe COVID-19 is sufficient sunlight exposure. Now, the different reason also in terms of racial differences, that there's a lot of people in northern European countries that are of non-European or non-northern European origin, such as, for example, in Sweden, right? We have actually had fairly low death rates over the issue that we haven't done any stringent measures whatsoever. I've discussed this many times on the show. I won't go all over all of that again. But it was an interesting line here. This is in the National Post. I'll get to your super chats right after this, folks, so stay with me here. But talking about Sweden state epidemiologist Agnes Tegnell, who's definitely done the right thing. He realized that this charlatan, Niels Ferguson, who, of course, was behind in 2000, from 2001 all the way up to 2005, all the foot and mouth disease debacles. He made predictions that like half a million, you have to slaughter half a million cows. And again, I've gone over all that. All of his predictions were ridiculous. It was like something like 177 sheep had died or 457 pigs had died or something. He's gone wrong every time with these models, right? So Agnes Tegnell realized, the state epidemiologist in Sweden, he said, this paper that he released has not been peer-reviewed, so we're not doing that. This paper started attacking him for it. These kind of cucky conservatives, essentially, that's what I think this paper is. And they were outraged here because they're talking about how Sweden has this idea of, like, essentially, they're describing high trust. The Swedish authorities can give out a message, say, please do X, Y, Z, because we recommend you doing these kinds of things. Well, what do you think have happened in the multicultural areas? They've, of course, not abided by these rules. And add on to this issue that they cannot sufficiently produce vitamin D in, well, especially in on the northern latitudes, but because of the fact that they have much more melanin in their skin. They have darker skin, which means it's much harder for them to absorb sunlight, which means they cannot convert that into vitamin D as efficiently as we white and pale and boring skinned people can. So look at this. Here's Cesar. There's an operating assumption that public health messaging, and they're negative against the fact that Sweden went on stringent lockdowns and instead just said, again, high trust society, we used to be anyway, and they just say, hey, keep your distance, do X, Y, Z, and we won't bother you too much kind of thing, right? But they're saying the assumption that public health messaging will be followed correctly by all without question or resistance. But this doesn't seem to have worked out well for Sweden's 60,000 plus Somali immigrants who are, Tegnell admitted on Tuesday, grotesquely overrepresented in the country's COVID-19 mortality statistics. Right. So it basically means they didn't follow the rules, probably the orders. They live in a parallel society anyway. They probably don't even listen to like state authorities. They don't listen to Swedish media and any of this stuff. So they might not even fully know what's going on. But add on to that, Mark, that this is also, of course, the cruelty to a certain extent of denying racial differences, because it means that these people will be worse off health-wise in a country like Sweden than they would be in their own countries, right? Interesting take, huh?
It's a very interesting take, and I actually spoke at a Skanza forum in Sweden, I think it was last year, and it was very interesting, or it might have been the year before, but the gentleman I was staying with, he was talking to me about the long winters in Sweden and how at certain times of year, you only get a couple of hours of proper sunlight through the day at the darkest time of the year due to the northern nature of Sweden and how far north it is. And this is very interesting because for people who have very dark skin and have a very high melanin content, they obviously need more sunlight in order to synthesize vitamin D. So in a country like Sweden, where there are certain seasons where you only get a few hours of proper sunlight a day because of its northern latitude, you end up with black people who develop, or those with very dark skin, specifically those from sub-Saharan Africa, who develop rickets because you need vitamin D for strong bones. So you see older blacks, especially heavier blacks, who have bowed legs. And those bowed legs are because they are living in an environment that isn't suited to their skin, that isn't suited to the fact that they can't absorb as much sunlight as we can. And obviously, this ties in exactly with what we're talking about now. And obviously, these people are going to be affected more because they're not living in the correct climate. And I'm sure that we will get the blame for this. I've already noticed here in the UK that we're getting the blame. In France the other week, well, it's quite interesting. You can probably bring this up on my Twitter. I think I posted this. I can't remember what particular day it was, but this is a perfect example of the way the media behaves. So the first article was from the 27th of March. In France, COVID-19 lockdown is for everyone. Almost gang-ridden immigrant-populated suburbs, not a priority for the police.
Yeah.
So the first thing you notice is the police won't actually police these suburbs in France. So they won't go into these suburbs because they're violent, they get attacked. So they leave these people to their own devices for obvious reasons, because they don't want a riot. Then the next article, and this is from the 20th of April, so obviously about a month later, anti-lockdown riots break out in Paris amid anger at police heavy-handed treatment of minorities. Yeah. After Macron extended social distancing. So this is amazing, isn't it? And it just proves they always have to have an excuse for minorities, even if the excuse is a blatant lie.
Yep.
So the first article tells you there's actually no lockdown in the Paris suburbs because the police won't police them. But when the non-white community starts rioting anyway, the press just say, oh, well, it's because the police have been too heavy-handed.
It was over that motorcyclist. I covered it on Wednesday in one of the shows that I did. It was, remember, there was it's one of the, he didn't do nothing, you know, kind of thing, right? But the police were chasing him, and somehow I think they were meeting him, and they opened the door, and he drove into the door, and he was hurt. And then then that became a huge issue. And now they actually had a clip just to show people what it is that's happening on the streets of France. I'm glad you brought it up. We could play that real quick. It's like a summary. Let me see if I can find that real quick, because it's been absolute chaos. I think actually it's at the end here. Yeah, check this out here too. And you'll get the idea despite, although the audio is not there, it's just like you're seeing these people just like being crazy in terms of their behavior here. But I'll be quiet, turn up the volume a little bit, and look at this guy. Check this out. Timeline.
Bon de bata.
C'est ça l'arme du crime. L'arme du crime, c'est ça, ma gueule. Prends tout, ma gueule.
J'ai appris qu'il y avait des cassages. Vous avez cassé des voitures, vous brûlez des voitures. Je vous demande de rentrer chez vous, vous calmer. La justice, ça sera bien fait. En espérant. Je ne suis pas un enfant de cœur, mais je ne vais plus toucher.
All right, I'll lower that and we can continue to play in the back. You get the idea, Mark. It's absolutely chaos in many French suburbs. It was interesting to see, though, that they blamed this on... And I saw the Times did it, too. Let's put this headline in. Lockdown frustrations. It's just lockdown frustrations, folks. Don't worry about it. That's why you see all these other white people doing exactly the same thing and protesting like crazy and just like, you know, rock or fireworks on the cops and all this kind of shit, right? But there's a schism in the messaging here because there was supposedly over this motorcyclist. It was police brutality, but they still blame. It's just because they're locked down. I don't get it, but isn't it nutty seeing this kind of stuff, Mark?
I find it very, very, I think things like this are a wake-up call for many white people. So I think it's important that people see this stuff. I don't want to sound like I'm rejoicing that this is happening, because I'm not. I'd prefer it if these people weren't here at all and these things never happened. But it does give me at least some hope when you see so many people of European descent red-pilled by these kind of activities. Because there was only two ways this was going to go down, wasn't there? The police would have either enforced the social distancing on these people that is being enforced on us, and then they would have rioted. Or the police don't enforce the social distancing on these people, then lots of them start dying, and then they riot. So ultimately, what was going to happen was a riot. Whatever would happen, these people were going to riot. And I don't know how hot it is in France, but if it's as hot in France as it is here, that will just add to it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, these people are always going to behave in that manner. That's how it always ends. And then the press are always sympathetic. The press will always write it up in this, treat them with kid gloves, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, frustrations boil over. Protests turn violent. Protesters end up losing their cool with brutal police tactics. Now, if this was white people pushing back.
Oh, God.
There would, I mean, can you remember the police brutality towards the yellow vests in France?
Just talking about that,
It's insane to see the different ways police react depending on the color of those carrying out riots or protests.
Yep.
And when it's white people doing it, it's always rioters, it's always thugs, it's always people who are painted as if they have some kind of criminal intent. Whereas when it's non-white people doing it, it's always protesters, it's always the community, tensions within the community boiling over. And it's always written up in completely different terms because these people are always victims. Whatever they do, they're always victims. And however this turns out, however it plays out, the press will find an angle to try and paint them in a sympathetic light.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Let me get to some of these lemons here in DLive and some other. I think we have some on Entropy too. I did see them coming there, so thank you for that. Let me go through those real quick here. JC Stalling sends a diamond and says, they have to go back. We owe them no apologies. And that was actually in the reference to the first time we got into this topic. Thank you, JC Stalling. Proud Anne Frank denier. Sends a diamond, does a 07 and an 88. Thank you for that. Proud Anne Frank denier. Appreciate that. Desi Mark 13. Tell them no beer, drink mead. Smiley face. Well, mead is not bad. I know a guy that produces some really good one. My brother did some too, naturally. Honey, water, very simple. It was actually excellent. I was surprised how good it was. I've got to say this.
Yep. I've just remembered. I did have one small drink at the Patriotic Alternative Northern Christmas party. And the thing that I tried was a honey mead. We went to the Christmas market after the Christmas dinner and we had a wander around and people had a drink and they had honey mead there and I tried it. It was very nice. Although people are sort of saying, I've seen people in the chat earlier on sort of suggesting why I don't drink. And it's just because the older you get, the worse effect it seems to have on you when you're drunk. And also, the older you get, the more gutting it is to lose an entire Saturday or Sunday to a hangover. I just don't have the time anymore to waste the day feeling sorry for myself.
I agree. I couldn't handle a hangover. It's just like, what the... at some point, you know, it's like you party and, you know, it's fun or whatever, but it's like the day after, it's like, what is this anyway? And you know, most Northern Europeans, I think, are like that, especially like winter, it's dark and stuff and people drink a lot. And, you know, that's the only way Swedes socialize is to drink, essentially. But after a while, it's just like, I can't stand this. I'm getting off this train. Spencer the First sends a diamond and says, will Mark be expanding Patriotic Alternative to Canada ever? LOL, question mark.
Well, when we started Patriotic Alternative, one thing that we consciously avoided was using the term British. And we avoided that for two reasons. Firstly, the term British is actually quite divisive in Britain because Britain isn't really a country. It's a collection of countries. It's a union of countries, which is at the moment is England, Scotland, Wales, and the United Kingdom includes Northern Ireland. And when you actually campaign and knock on doors and speak to people, especially in Scotland and Wales, and you say that you're from a party with British in the name, when I was in the British National Party, this occurred a lot. People would say, well, I'm not voting for you, mate, because I'm Scottish, or I'm not voting for you because I'm Welsh. And that's increasingly happening in England now. People are saying, well, I'm English, mate. I'm not proud to be British. I'm proud to be English. So Patriotic Alternative isn't about a union of nations. It's not about England, Scotland, Wales. It's certainly not about Britain. It's about the people. It's about the English, the Irish, the Scots, the Welsh, the Ulstermen. It's about the people who make up these islands, because these islands are nothing without those people. So ultimately, it could be exported to other English-speaking nations. And if one day there is another Patriotic Alternative in, say, Canada, America, Australia, that would be absolutely fantastic to be able to go all over the world and find a branch of Patriotic Alternative. Would be, well, that'd be like a dream come true, because that's what we need. We need a global network of brothers and sisters who are all standing up for white well-being.
Yeah, definitely. Well said. Good answer to that there. Thank you. John Saxa, 1418, says, since the diamond says, happy Freya / Frigga's Day, gentlemen. Indeed, happy Freya's Day. It's thank you for joining us. Sticks Rectum Jammer, 666, donates a diamond. Thank you. His name always makes me smile. JC Stalling sends a diamond. Here's to Mark coming to DLive and a number of beer jugs for you there and a number of those white supremacy symbols. Shroon sends a diamond as well and says, hail Mark. Indeed, thank you so much, Shroon. Dravonian Gimp of Death sends a diamond. Help us connect with each other in our own countries. Yes, I agree. That's very important at these points. Dravonian again sends a diamond. It says, new declaration of independence. Where do I sign? Question mark. Smiley face. Well, exactly. You can declare your independence. That you can do. And then you have to, of course, fight the war to prove it. You can do it, too. But I agree. Simon Coates sends a diamond. Mark swapped drink for think. J. Paul sends a diamond. Says, when will Mark start a DLive channel? Well, you answered that earlier. It's already there under DLive.tv/MarkCallIt. Shroon sends a diamond. It says, subscribed, Mark. Well, that's nice. You have some subs over there already. Then Vulture Man, also a diamond. No message. Big Rich, 14. Good evening, folks. Good evening to you, Big Rich. Vulture Man, another diamond. Support Alt Media. Support Red Ice. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Vulture Man, another diamond. Actually, 1, 2, 3 more in a row. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. A big black man with AIDS sends a diamond and says, white pride worldwide. Thank you, a big black man with AIDS. I appreciate that. Desi Mark, 13. Another diamond today. PA. I guess it's not Patriarch Alternatives. It's Pennsylvania, I would assume. Removed 200 names from COVID-19 rolls. Oh, did they? Interesting. I heard something about that. It's like people are being added and added off or something. I think it's Pennsylvania, you mean, when you say PA. Anyway, interesting. AltFit says, I sent some donations via Entropy Problems. I did see them, AltFit. Thank you for that. He sends... let me read those right away here before we proceed. And he says, AltFit on entropystream.live/redicetv says, Red Ice, Lana, and Henrik, you are the blueprint for the white race. You two would be on the cover of every Western magazine if our leaders were not in the pocket of our enemies. And then, well, thank you for that. That's very kind of you. And then he says, hello, test. And that did go through, AltFit. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that. So that means Entropy Stream does work. I didn't know if it did work the first time I fired up with DLive, but it seems fine. So thank you, AltFit. For those donations, Black Philip sends a diamond and says, will Boris fine China with new trade deal because of COVID? Any takes on that, Mark? I haven't followed that. If there's any... Have they gotten to that point yet, considering the Brexit issue and all that stuff?
I don't know. I don't know how this will affect Brexit. I'm not sure if any government around the world would have what it takes to actually fine China or try to impose any trade restrictions on China. The fact is, China is the world's manufacturer now. What isn't produced in China? I don't know. Everything seems to be made there, especially all consumer electronics. Most of them are all built in the Foxconn buildings, which, you know, whether it's Apple, whether it's Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, I should imagine most of the Samsung stuff is built there too. People want those items and they wouldn't tolerate having restrictions on them. So I can't see there being any real restrictions against China. And I've got to warn on this as well. I'm very much aware that the disease originated from China, and I'm very open to the idea that the Chinese were testing viruses in that laboratory, behaving in a way that could be at very least described as unscrupulous, doing things they shouldn't have been doing. However, I think as nationalists, our message should be focused on the failure of Western governments, the failure of Western governments to stop the virus getting in, the failure of Western governments to control our borders, and the failure of Western governments to screen people and carry out health checks on migrants coming into the West. And I think that's really where we should be aiming the majority of our firepower, because this is a perfect way for us to explain to people that open borders, mass immigration, and multiculturalism is a problem. It is either A, a killer, or it is B, being used to bring a disease into our country, which is then being used to take our rights away. This is something we should be pushing in those terms, and simply and meekly saying, oh, it's time we made China pay. Well, actually, I'd rather see Boris Johnson pay. He's the one who's letting 15,000 migrants into Britain per day.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of bad food habits in China, you know, that was the initial explanation, of course. Bat eating and so forth was a fun clip I saw here. Very short. You know, you and me really don't have to hear the audio for it. Corona Ching Chang does a little dance for us. It's from Sven Stoffels, which I believe he's out of the Netherlands. Check this out, guys. It's kind of funny. Check out the imagery here, too. There you go. Nice, huh? He loops around, I think, at that point. So that's why you saw... Yeah, there we go, loops around. That's why you saw an ass on the screen there for a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, good animation skills by Sven Stoffels. Check him out on Twitter. All right, a couple of more of your D-Live chats here. Jarn Sucks again sends a diamond. Sarsaparilla mead is amazing. I've never tried that. That's interesting. Thank you for the tip. Alt Fit. Sensei Diamond says, D-Live is a Amish operation. Abandon ship, go to Gab. Gab doesn't do live streaming. I don't know what happened. I know that they are doing things or whatever, that they've updated their terms of service recently, and they've, I don't know if we were ended up on Perma X tag or something there. D-Live is by no means optimal, and I don't think anybody's pretending like they are. They're a temporary refuge, probably until BitChute will start up with live streams or something like that. But again, I don't know exactly what that's a reference to. It could turn bad at any point as soon as they get pressure. And most people, I think, on DLive knows that, too. But thank you, Altfit. I appreciate that. Prince of Verdale, I think it is, sends a Ninjagini and says, continue to fight for God's favorite isles. Make our forefathers proud. Much support from America. Well, thank you so much, Prince of Cloverdale, that's what it says, for the Ninjagini. I appreciate that. Spencer the First, a diamond. I'd call dibs on leader of Patriotic Alternative Canada. I'll email Mark. Yeah, do that. Get in touch with Mark. Maybe that's branch time, huh? Spencer the First again sends a diamond. Says, hail, Red Ice, Jason, and Mark. We will win. Well, there's no other option, is there? Thank you so much for those. Okay, this point I wanted to underline, too. We talked about the situation in the UK. Borders are open, but our countries are locked down. Check this one quick. I'll summarize it afterwards. Only 26 seconds long. It's to underline the situation in the UK. Actually, I could actually show this first, because that helps to make the point here. Trump went on and off on this thing a little bit about locking down the borders, having a temporary restriction on immigration into the country. Then supposedly Jared Kushner pushed back against this. And some person kvetching on Twitter here, this is Kevin McDonald, who retweeted this and had a comment regarding the fact that Trump should have looked at the polls when he backed away from his immigration restriction. This person here, Zach Goldberg, says on Twitter, recent USA Today poll finds that 80% of Americans endorse un-American xenophobic bigotry. Shameful indeed. What is he talking about? Well, it says that about 8 in 10 support drastic steps on immigration, imposing mandatory quarantines for people who have traveled to any other country and temporarily stopping immigration from all other countries, right? So then you got the situation where Kushner supposedly got into it again and he was pushing back at it. But make no mistake, just as Mark said earlier, all of this have continued. Nothing has slowed down. Refugees are still coming. Check this quick clip out here. I think it's PBS. No, it's a local station. I apologize. Homeland Security approves 35,000 H-2B visas. Let me play this here. Again, audio, we won't hear it, fortunately, Mark, but check this out, guys.
U.S. Department of Homeland Security announces today it is releasing 35,000 visas for seasonal workers. This is especially important for Maryland's blue crab industry because most of the workers employed as crab pickers at crab houses need these visas. In fact, in a recent survey, 7 of 8 Eastern Shore crab houses said they would not open in 2020 without adequate H-2B workers.
The U.S. Yeah, so listen to that. Homeland Security approves 35,000 H-2B visas. They have to have people to go to, I guess, Maine and some of these other New England states to help to crack crabs. Meanwhile, we have, how much is it up to now? 14-15 million people that have filed for unemployment, Mark. All they would have to do is do a slight little readjustment, even offer people, well, would you be willing to move? Could you find where the jobs? No, the borders have to remain open. They will remain open. This is not the COVID crisis, the coronavirus crisis is not going to be a huge strike against globalization. It's not going to stop immigration. It hasn't. People talk about it all the time. Ann Corcoran over on Refugee Resettlement Watch covered this too. Over 1,000 Afghan refugees flow into USA last 4 weeks, right? Another story. Refugees are still arriving in the US. What happened to supposed suspension? She said it was about, for the entire month of March, we admitted 1,110 regular refugees and 844 SIVs. I don't even know what that is. Mostly from Afghanistan. So this is nothing has stopped. What was the number again in the UK? 15,000, you said, was it?
15,000 a day.
A day. Yeah. All right. So, you know, this is like, who's going to white people don't want these jobs. White people don't want jobs, Mark. We're just going to
We just want to sit on universal credit, sat there on our Xboxes, cooped up in our houses as the crabs get cracked by the migrants. And I've got to say this as well. I'm not sure whether the American people are, or the media must see the American people as really, really stupid, because the media in America always use the most grotesque terms, which are so obviously and blatantly being used to try and shame the public. So I think you read something out there saying, shock, 80% of Americans support un-American policy. And it's just so funny. Is that meant to make people reading the headline instantly ashamed that they don't support immigration because now it's un-American? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that was Goldberg writing that too, by the way.
Zach Goldberg. I'm sure he's a wonderful American. I'm sure, in fact, I bet he's got dual citizenship, and it'd be very un-American to point that out.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. I don't put it past him. So it was a bit of a pushback. Again, we're not going to watch the video. It's too long and too complex with the audio issue we have right now. But supposedly, Stephen Miller has a long-term vision for Trump's temporary immigration order. He might be pushing back a little bit against Kushner, but usually it folds Kushner's way. And even if Stephen Miller had good intentions, likely that they'll be able to put it through. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But even if it was temporary, that means it's going to be picked right back up again, unfortunately, right? So that's the kind of a situation that we're looking at here. Okay, let's move through a couple of stories here real quick, Mark, and then we'll wrap up. We'll go in because of our delay a little bit here, too. The UK plans to issue coronavirus immunity passports so people can leave the lockdown early. Now, these are some of the measures that we talked about, that there is a little bit of a checklist here of things that they're going to push on us before they allow us to go back to working and paying our bills and feeding our families and going to a concert or whatever people want to do, go to a bar or something like that, right? And yes, these are not essential things, and it's not like absolutely necessary to be able to do these all the time. But it's the point, right? It's a form of extortion. It's a form of saying, you know, we'll do this very painful thing, and so when you've gotten so sick of it, you don't care what the measures are going to be at the end of the day. People are going to accept these apps that Google and Apple are developing right now of tracing. They'll accept possibly mandatory vaccinations, right? We can see. And there is actually, we can do that. We can squeeze this one in here right at the end. And I'll do the same thing, Mark. I'll play this. I may actually pull this up, the audio for this, right on my phone, interesting enough. This is a very boomer tech way of doing it here, folks, today because of the issues that we've had. But what I'll do is I'll pull this up here and we can listen to this on mute while you guys actually listen to the clip. It's Bill Gates, short interview from yesterday on MSNBC talking about this issue of what the next kind of step is in the process. And it's a very interesting clip. So let me pause here real quick and we'll start playing. Oh, come on, load. Here we go. Okay, so let's do this. Let's start playing. Mark and I will listen to this as well. Check this out.
The Gates Foundation is very much at the forefront on this hunt for a vaccine. We've all learned by now the timeline, the hopeful timeline of 12 to 18 months. That is a highly expedited track, a fast track for a vaccine. Can you explain why?
For most diseases, you don't pursue more than one or two approaches. Here, because of all the incredibly negative effects, the sooner the better. And so we're going to pursue, there are 100 efforts, but maybe 10 of those should get the resources to build factories and go full speed ahead. And it'll be multiple companies, which that's not typical. And it'll all be at risk because those are billions of dollars that when they're successful will save the trillions of dollars of broad damage. So, you know, the best scientists working hard on this, and I'm hopeful. In fact, in the last few weeks, I've seen signs that we may get to the optimistic side of that time projection.
What about treatments? That's, you said, if we could get a miracle drug, a miracle treatment that would, you know, take care of it for 95% of people, then maybe we could all be at the baseball game next spring. You've said you don't think that's likely, but where's the hope on the treatment track?
Well, there's a huge number of compounds being tried. The public knows about remdesivir, hydroxychloroquine. You know, whichever one it is, you know, most will fail, but a few, I think, will have substantial effects. As far as I know, none of the trials have had that kind of, you know, amazing result where you stop it early and go, hey, we have to get this out. So, you know, even if those lead compounds do not have significant benefit, believe me, there's so many good ideas that some will. So no one should put their hope behind a particular approach. And hydroxy, it may have a modest effect. That's all that by the end of May will be clear.
I think if there has been any area that seems to have been bedeviling during this crisis, it's testing. I wonder how you assess how the U.S. has done in testing and what seems to be the issue here? What's the breakdown? What's the problem? What should have been better?
Well, many countries decided that at the national level, they would orchestrate the testing and, you know, do that very early. So all of these machines called PCR machines would be used 24 hours a day and you would be testing the right people. That hasn't happened in the United States. It might not happen, but, you know, the access to tests is just, you know, chaotic. If you're a low-income person, your access is less than a high-income person. We should focus on the symptomatics and the contact tracing. So I don't know whether this will get organized. The capacity is going up, but, you know, when you get the results late, it's almost worthless. And so we can improve. A number of innovations have been driven. We are involved in proving that the patient doing the self-swab just at the tip of the nose, that's as good as having the medical worker do the more invasive procedure.
Actually, right there, there we go. Okay, so we listened to that. 18 months before, look at the way she frames it there too, Mark. 18 months before we can go back to the baseball game. Like, that's what it was all about, right? I've heard this straw man all the time. Oh, you would, they want to go out on their boats and play, you know, like, no, like, people, they can't pay their bills. Like, they can't feed their families. They're losing their jobs. They're being unemployed, you know, like, it's crippling and collapsing. And they're framing it this obnoxious way. But I'm convinced, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I could be proven wrong here, but I'm almost convinced that they will push some kind of medical, definitely a screening process, some kind of, they've talked about that already, that certain measures must be in place because they say this thing is going to be cyclical, it's going to be worse, the second wave when it comes and we have to continue to do shutdowns and stuff. And the only way out of that situation is to either have a mandatory vaccination or some kind of other measure or medicine in place in addition to like tracking and stuff like that. What do you make of it and what do you stand on this particular question regarding them and their push of their medications?
I don't think that I want to take anything that they're producing. I certainly don't want to be vaccinated with any of these vaccines. I don't want any microchips being put in me. And I am very, very suspicious when problems like this or outbreaks like this occur, when 50% of people who are infected get no symptoms whatsoever. A sizable chunk, or the largest chunk, of those who do get symptoms only get mild symptoms. And as I said, the mortality rate doesn't seem to be anything more than the rate you would see with a bad seasonal flu. I think the idea that everyone in the country has to have a vaccine because of it is ridiculous. You don't mass vaccinate for flu. You only, at most, vaccinate people who are in the at-risk categories, or vaccinate those who are working with those in the at-risk categories. And I don't know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, actually. I don't know if you play computer games. Do you? Do you have a game?
Very rarely. It was like years ago. I used to, but I don't have time anymore.
There was a game recently. Well, not recently. It was sort of last generation. It's quite a while ago, actually, now, but it seems recently. But it was called Deus Ex Human Revolution. It's set in a future where people have augmentations. So they have sort of bionic eyes, bionic limbs, they have bionic lungs. And everyone's having these augmentations to improve their lives and improve their body. And as the game goes on, you improve yourself more and more and turn yourself into a superhuman. And the big thrust of the game is, or a large thrust of it, is between the sort of people who don't think anyone should be allowed augmentations and those who embrace the augmentations. And there is this kind of movement to prevent people being augmented, and then obviously those who have been augmented don't want anything to do with that. They think it's their right to change their bodies as they see fit. But later in the game, there becomes an event where everybody's augmentations start playing up. Everyone starts malfunctioning. You know, their bionic eyes won't turn on, their limbs won't move, and they're experiencing quite a large amount of pain during this glitch. And everyone's asked to go to government centres to receive an upgrade which will fix their augmentations. And you get to decide whether you want to go for the upgrade or whether you want to live with the temporary pain and glitches and just get through as you can. And obviously you can guess the twist is the glitches are all being caused for a reason, so that everyone gets the upgrade. And if you get the upgrade, you are then controlled by the government. And it's often the case, you see these kind of pieces of media, you see either films or you see computer games or you see TV series, and it's obviously fiction. But in that fiction, there are sort of startling predictions that can somewhat come true. And I feel this might be a little bit like Deus Ex Human Revolution, in that there is something going on, but it's being vastly over-exaggerated in order to cause us to all go and get something injected into us that might actually not be in our best interests. And after playing that game, I made the right decision, actually. When the government asked me to go in and get my upgrade, I decided to stay at home that day. And I think when the government asked me to go and get the vaccine, I think I will be I'll be at home that day, and I won't be visiting the medical center.
Good choice. Now, it sounds like sci-fi, of course, but the reality is that this has been pushed for a long time. The technocrats are very interested in merging man with machines, and, you know, transhumanism and these kinds of things. And even due to the fact that we're taking this path now, and it's not that we're at the end destination, we're just treading onto this path, really, of augmentation, as you talk about. And augmentation of, well, replacing a human immune system with, well, for one, tyrannical governments, or for that matter, an external, you know, produced with chemicals and preservatives and whatever, the aborted baby fetus cells or whatever the hell they put in some of these things, allegedly. Injecting it into people to you know, have them, well, to force the body to develop immunity. And then, of course, there are side effects of that kind of thing like that. Immunization is not a bad idea, but we have an immune system for that reason. We can be immunized against things. And it's, if you let the body is healthy. If you're feeding the body the right thing, if you exercise, then your immunity will most likely be very, very good. And as you say, if there are cases where some are very, very risk groups, or they're vulnerable or something, then sure, they can go ahead and do those things if they believe in that, and that's fine. But no, I mean, they're going for the full gambit here, I think, you know, not just with this thing, but at the end destination. That's why I think it's part of it, that they launched these streaming events now during this quarantine as well, that I think we're going to get more and more accustomed to. Instead of going on an actual vacation, you put on the headset, the VR headset, you know, these kinds of things. Or you go to a concert, a free concert, check out, you know, get your virtual headset or a Google Cardboard box. You can just pop in your phone there and, well, you know, you can look around and stuff. And that kind of shit is coming. I mean, they've been developing that for a long time. And with these restrictions and even climate change interlocking with this agenda, saying, look at this, we've managed to essentially shut down the oil industry. People are paying you now to get rid of the barrels of oil. Pollution is down, which is a good thing. I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. Obviously, there are some glimmers of light here and there that comes through. But overall, this is, of course, to do with deindustrialization of the West. It has to do with taking our countries down a peg. And still, the borders will remain open, folks. Immigration is part of Agenda 2030. Lifting migrants out of poverty is part of the UN's stated goals. And the way to do that is to bring them to Western countries, right? That's what they say. But no, I'm totally on your page. I think at the end of this thing, people will have a choice. They'll say, will you walk down a path where you will be totally integrated with technology, artificial intelligence systems, the global brain? They've been researching these kinds of things for a very, very long time. And it will essentially be, in the beginning, those who are left out will feel like a second-class citizens. They will feel like a lower evolved human or something like that. But I don't think that there's a good end destination of where this is going. And so therefore, my choice is always going to be to stay away from it. And it's like, you know, it's creepy. It's actually very, very creepy when you think about it. But good point, Mark. I appreciate that you mentioned that. It's important to talk about those things, because they happen so gradually sometimes and people don't think about it, you know, how we integrate technology and stuff like that. But let me do a couple of these super chats real quick, and then we're going to start rounding up here. We're just past the top of the hour, and I know it's getting late over for Mark as well. And I do want to have Mark on with us here, because I know some of the super chats are addressed to Mark as well. Spencer the First sends a diamond on D11 and says, tell Mark to ask Jason regarding my credentials. Okay, so there you know, Spencer the First, if that's the name he goes by. You know, you can ask him regarding. It was in reference to the Canadian Patriotic Alternative branch there, and he was going to email you, Mark, so then you know that. Spencer the First again sends a diamond, and I will be sending that email this weekend. He says, hey, okay, very good, thank you. Spencer the First again sends a diamond. Great stream, Henrik. Hope to see our queen soon. Lana will be back on Sunday with us for a little, you know, she's been some maternal leave here off for a little while, and she will begin doing Weekend Warriors with us. So we're doing prep for that tomorrow. And so if you do want your, if you want to see Lana again and some dose of Lana, get in on redicemembers.com. It's, of course, take the opportunity to plug it. It's a great way to support us as well. But Lana will be there. So Sunday evening, usually Sunday night, we upload those. So heads up on the next Weekend Warrior, because Lana will be part of that. AltFit donates a Ninja Genie and says, I'm going to shoot testosterone and work out till I crush communist skull with one hand. Sounds like a solid plan. Sounds like a solid plan, AltFit. I appreciate that. Thank you for the Ninja Genie. AltFit again donates a diamond. Let's pressure Gab to do live streams. I think that obviously that would get them to take off, and I'm not saying that they can't do it. They have started with video, which is a good thing. I think BitChute is probably going to beat them and others to that to the punch. Maybe even before Library. We'll see what happens. But wouldn't hurt. I'm not saying that. It would be great to see if Gab did it or not. Thank you, AltFit. I appreciate that. Neo DeLorean sends a diamond. He says, I already have a phone. Why chip me? Well, that's a good point. Most people carry their chip with them. It's in their phone. And that's how they track you, too. That's why I've said many times, you don't have to do it every time, but occasionally, leave your phone at home. When you go to the store, when you do something, you don't always have to have the phone video. Start accustoming yourself to not having it on you all at all times. That's actually a very good thing. Or buy one of those pocket blockets. You put it in that and zip it up, and you actually lose connectivity for a while, which it's a good way too. AltFit again, Sunset Diamond. Western national well-being is a requirement. I agree. Thank you so much. Dr. Silberman, a diamond. No message. Techno Viking, a diamond. It says, great stream, Henrik. Thank you. Well, thank you so much. He also sends me another diamond and says, great guest also. Absolutely. Mark is fantastic. Last few ones here over on DonorBox, guys, and then we'll wrap up here. Pamela sends a message a bit earlier today before the stream and said, hope to be there live on Flashback Friday. I'm loving the new RedIce.tv interview format. Now RedIce can probably say, we speak boomer. Here's some boomer bucks. Please give to Lana. Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Pam. Brad Gremba sends a $50 donation on DonorBox. Actually, Pam did that as well. Thank you to both of you guys. That's very generous of you. Thank you so much. Brad is a great supporter of the show, as is Pam, of course, again. Brad says, Freedom Shekels. It's always great to see other legends on Red Ice. I miss a lot of Mark Collett's shows because it's usually when I'm the busiest during the day, but I've been following him and the Brits in general now for a long time. They seem to really be getting things together over there. They do, don't they? Is there something happening in the UK? Patriotism is on the rise, it seems. Woes, I know. He's very encouraging about all the people. A lot of people are getting together, I guess. Is that what's happening over there? Tell us quickly.
I think the thing is for us, and the best way to... I spoke about this at the last Patriotic Alternative Conference, and you can see my speech. It's on YouTube. It's about community. It's about the importance of real-world communities, because online, and we see this today, there's people watching this. There's a lot of people watching this. There's over 1,000 at its peak. And you see the chat flying past. You see people, you know, working from behind, usernames and avatars, and it's all very impersonal. But when you actually go to a lovely venue and you have a conference and you're talking to people, you're looking them in the eye, you're shaking them by the hand, you then sit down for a lovely meal and you're sat around a table making conversation and talking about all the things that we hold dear, being free to speak your mind, being free to express yourself, being able to talk openly with people. It's a really, really liberating feeling. It's a feeling that until you've done it, you don't really understand how good it is, because we're so used to hiding who we are in public places, at work, sometimes with our families, in public areas. We're always having to self-censor. But when you can actually go and sit in a room surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of like-minded people, people who feel the same way as you, that want to talk about the issues you want to talk about, it is so morale boosting. It's a huge, huge white pill to be able to have experiences like that on the kind of scale that we are, the kind of a scale of the events that we're arranging. It's really good, and it's left people with a really, really positive view of what can come about in the future. And I just hope we can continue not only doing events like that, but also continue to inspire people all over the world to hold events like that. And one of the really great successes of our events is the last event was about 30% females. And we are now reaching many people who traditionally wouldn't want to come to a nationalist event. And I think, again, that's a really, really positive development. And I hope that we can continue this. I just want this lockdown to end so we can start rolling out our organization all over the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well said. It was very, very interesting. Couple of more here, guys, and we'll wrap up. Right Winger says on DonorBox, donors $10, and says, it's funny to watch the mainstream media try to do live TV from their homes, and their quality is a fraction of what the dissident right shows like Red Ice TV are. I've seen some of that, and it is intriguing. Some have like really bad setups and stuff. It's funny. We're accustomed to doing this, of course, so we're in a better position already. Thank you, Right Winger, for that. Appreciate it. Conrad K, also a big supporter of the show. He sends a $10 donation on donorbox.org/red-ice, and he says, even more Trump bucks. Well, thank you so much. He says, hello from the colonies to our guest, big fan of the work you and Laura Towler are doing. Speaking to you, Mark, as usual, I salute the Red Ice family. Well, thank you so much, Conrad. Appreciate that. Der Sharusker sends a €5 donation. Another great show. Hail to you and Mark, and thank you for dedication and passionate work during the lockdown. Well, thank you so much. We've covered this, I think, fairly diligently at this point. Every show has been about this, and try to unweave this Gordian knot for you guys in a way of like trying to make sense of some of this stuff. And I'm glad you're the Mark, seeing a lot of the same things that I'm seeing. Sadly, some don't, and that's fine. I don't attack them for it. It's just, you know, there's something else going on here. People have to think about this. Thank you, Der Sharusker. Appreciate that. Pam again sends a $10 donation. Says, hello to my fellow Red Ice members and Patriotic Weekly people. Glad to be here. Thank you, Pam. Great of you to be joining us live, and thank you for your support as well, Pam. Last one here, Glenn the Chinaman, $30. Thank you, Glenn. He says, hi, Henrik. Did you receive my email with more inside information last week? I must have missed that. I do apologize for that. Been overworked and not enough time. I will take a look and search for that immediately in the inbox. It has been full. I haven't been able to get back to everybody. And I do apologize regarding that. One more here. Shroon, sounds like Dominic says, muhaha, minimum wage for immigrants. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. They drive down the wages with that. Thank you, Shroon. I appreciate that. Mark, plug some of your stuff here at the end. If there's anything else you'd like to say before we leave you for this time.
I'd just like to say, go and check out my video. If you haven't subbed my YouTube, sub my YouTube. If you haven't subbed my DLive, sub my DLive. Sub me on BitChute as well. Make sure you follow me on as many platforms as possible in case I disappear from some of the more normie platforms. Also, don't forget that I did write a book, www.thefallofwestonman.com. It is there for you for free. Please go and enjoy it. If you've got a bit of time during the lockdown, read The Fall of Western Man. As I said, it's free. It is my gift to you. And please enjoy it. And other than that, make sure you stay safe. And if you're here in the UK, try visiting www.patrioticalternative.org.uk and make sure you sign up for bulletins, because if you do, you will get invites to our conferences, to our local events, and to our camps and fitness events as well.
Nice. Very, very good. Yeah, here's the website here, thefallofwesternman.com. We have been showing the YouTube channel here a little bit too. YouTube. Just search for Mark Collett and you'll find it on YouTube. And then, of course, you are on BitChute, as you said, just dlive.tv/Mark Collett. Hopefully we are still okay for a while on DLive, but I do have hope in BitChute and also Library. It's actually a very, very good service. Mark, thank you so much, man, for joining us. Always great talking to you, and thank you. I know it's late over there, so I do appreciate your time, and thank you for bearing with me today during the audio technical issues. I have big investigations to do. But, Mark, I salute you. Keep up the good work, sir, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you so much. See you later, guys.
See you later. Yep, take care, guys. All right. Actually, oh, look at that transition. Fancy. Do you like us like that? Let me just mute Mark there in case. All right, so let's do this. I saw that one more came in. I just want to quickly give your heads up here in terms of what's coming up over the weekend before I let you go. Again, big thanks to Mark for joining us today. And again, it has been a little bit of tricky stuff to deal with in terms of the tech today. So I do appreciate you guys that we had a little bit of a limited stream today. I actually had a lot of other clips that I wanted to show, and I just couldn't get to them because it's too complicated. Just like playing the clip on my phone and the mic to Mark and mute it while, you know, it's whatever. Anyway, Dr. Silberman sends a diamond here. Says, Mark, thank you for your courage. Yeah, we just let Mark go. But yeah, indeed, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Silberman. Thank you to Mark again for joining us today. Prince of Cloverdale sends nationalistic book recommendations from Mark. I'm so sorry. Just let him go. We have to do that for the next time. I do appreciate it, though. Let me open the box, guys, on DLive. Get your lemons. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for your super chats. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being there. Thank you for supporting us, for watching, and all this kind of crazy stuff that's happening during these times. We're being censored from a lot of places. It's getting harder to reach people. So I appreciate everyone not only supporting the work we do, but if there's nothing else that you can do, if you can't support us financially, if you can't become a member, if you can't, you know, super chat or something like that, and that helps to keep the cost going so we can keep everything going, of course, and pay the bills and do the things we need to do. And hopefully expand more as well, right? That there are limitations on that when you're limited in your reach. But if there's something you can do, if you can't do those things that I mentioned, you can always share a link to some of the shows that we do, to a video, to the website, to something that you think would be worth giving to your friends or work colleagues or family members, whatever it is. Some people, we have some good short videos that I think are pretty good red-pilling people. Check out our, well, you can find them, of course, on our website, but we're going to have a little bit of a better playlist. We're doing an update to that soon of kind of some of the shorter, like, one-on-one videos. There is a page there for that now, so the majority of them actually are on the new to Red Eyes question mark on redeyes.tv. Just click on that, and you have a number of videos that are embedded from BitChute right now. But if you do go to our BitChute channel, you can click in on the band videos playlist that we have there. Those are very good to share with people. Of course, we'll back upload a lot to like Library and stuff like that. As well, they have a really good quality. But yeah, as we said, check out yesterday's show that we did as well with Mimish Brunner. yesterday on the Corona Grab of who it is that's benefiting. Very good show, I thought. Check that out. Of course, it's both on redicemembers.com and on redice.tv. We do the no-go zone on Wednesdays. We have Flashback Friday on Fridays. Then, of course, we do Weekend Warrior on Sundays. And in between that, we do interviews. We do shorter videos and a lot of that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of material for you guys to dig into. And again, we can't do this without your help. So we do appreciate it. Check out Weekend Warrior. Coming up Sunday, Lana coming back after, what is it, at least 6-7 show hiatus from Weekend Warrior, I think, something like that. We've had some great co-hosts with us, of course. Same thing here on Flashback Friday. But she'll be joining us on Weekend Warrior first for probably a few weeks. And then we'll see when we can bring her into the circulation on Flashback Fridays, interviews and that kind of stuff. But yeah, thank you guys. Checking out DLive right now. Vultureman number one over there. Luckiest followers. Mashuha Danger, number two. Mr. Noseberg, great mod on DLive. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg. He's number three. JC Stalling, number four. And Waifu7, number five. Thank you, DLive. We love you all. Thank you so much for being there for us. We'll see you next time. And as I've said in the last couple of shows now, stay safe. Take it easy. It's gonna be fine. Gotta just help each other out and push back against these forces that are trying to drive a nail into our coffin, essentially, with these measures that they're putting in place. We have to protest it. We have to refuse it. This is no good. It's not going to be good for us. It's not going to be good for our people. These people have no good intention for us whatsoever. Quite the contrary. So think, and we'll see you guys later. Take care. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern age. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out. See you Sunday, guys. Take care.